Let's turn to Exodus 3, the first verse. I'm just going to be a few minutes. We're going to come in and pray. Exodus 3 and 1. Remain standing to honor God's word. Those of you that are worshiping, just continue to worship. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, surely I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in evil, and have heard in Egypt, heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Aren't you glad he knows? Hallelujah. I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. I want to preach this morning on secret struggles that nobody knows. Secret struggles that nobody knows. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your spirit that's moving right now, preparing hearts for this altar call. Lord, directly we're going to come around this altar and we're going to deal with the issues of our life. And Lord, you're going to talk to us. We're going to wait on you and let you talk back to us. Lord, we're not going to let this moment escape, but we are going to respond in this moment. You're here, Lord, to lead us out of sorrow. You're here to lead us out of bondage. You're here, Lord, to deliver us from the things that bind us, that cause us to have sad hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus, we rebuke, Lord, the spirit of oppression. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, if you want to pray right now, now would be a good time. If you want to respond to this altar, you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is your golden opportunity. While the waters trouble, while the Spirit of God is in this place, if you want to make a decision to follow Christ, this is your time. This is your time. Hallelujah. You have the courage that it takes to step out right now and come to this altar and give Jesus your heart. Glory to God. The best thing I ever done was when I surrendered my will to his will. The best friend I've ever had has been Jesus. The best fellowship I've ever had was when I've walked with him and I talked with him. Glory to God. I challenge you this morning. Do you have the courage? Do you have the desire that it takes to change your life and to turn a 180 here? And let Jesus take hold of your life right now. Just open up the altar right now. Just feel led to do this. God's dealing with your heart. Don't let this opportunity pass. You say, I'll wait for a more convenient time. I'll wait till I know more. Hey, getting to know Christ, first of all, is obeying him. If the Spirit is gripping your heart right now, don't turn it away. This may be the only opportunity that you have. Hallelujah. I'd like to challenge you this morning. Do you have the courage, sir, ma'am? Do you have the courage that it takes to step out of your chair right now and come to this altar and give your heart and life to Christ and say, Lord, I submit my will to you. Lord, I've been struggling. Nobody knows what I've been going through. I've been entertaining thoughts, even of suicide, taking my own life. But Lord, I'm going to allow you to take hold of my life here. I'm going to let you lead in my life from here on out. I'm not going to struggle with these thoughts any longer. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Saints, let's continue to pray. You may be seated. You know, we're kind of like ducks a lot of times. You see a duck that floats along the top of the pond, and he seems to be gliding along effortlessly. He seems to be going right along, just floating and serenely, hardly making a ripple. But what you don't realize that underneath the surface, he's paddling furiously. Can you say amen? With all of his might to get from point A to point B. Many of us are like that duck on the top of the water. We look so serene. We look so so calm, and it looks like everything is going good. But underneath the surface, there's an unseen battle that's going on with life itself. And I want to say that there's a man here, Moses, that went through some struggles. And I want to talk about those struggles for a few minutes this morning. Glory to God. The first struggle that he struggled with was identity. I want you to notice here, if you'll read on up in the 11th verse of that same chapter, you'll read where Moses said, "Who am I? Who am I?" A lot of us think we got to be born into a certain family. We got to have a certain last name. We got to have a pedigree. But let me tell you this morning and assure your hearts, you don't have to belong to a certain family. You don't have to have a certain name. You don't have to hold a certain position. Anybody. The Bible said he came that all should have life and have it more abundantly. The door is open to you this morning. Hallelujah. You don't have to let that opportunity slip through your fingers this morning. I'm telling you what, the power of God is in this place. The power of God is in it. I pray to God that you don't walk out of this place and you let the devil and people around you define you. Oh, dear God, I want you to notice here, he had a problem with identity. He had a problem with identity. His mom, his real mom, from the very beginning of Moses' life, he knew something special. He knew that God had a special plan for his life. While sons all around him, wailing women all over Egypt, then their sons were being killed, the elders. All of a sudden, he's protected. He's put into a little basket, set afloat in the river, the Nile River. And all of a sudden, by a miracle, Pharaoh's daughter finds him and takes him into her home and in her care. Glory to God. So he knew he was something special. God has something for me. But he was confused because he had no idea who he really was. Who he really was. As I said, walk down the mall, I see people that pass me. They've got all kinds of tattoos. They got all kinds of metal hanging over them. They've fornicated with about anything and everything. They don't know who they are. Oh, dear God. They have an identity crisis. See, his mom called him son. But Pharaoh's daughter called him an Egyptian. The Israelites, after he took that man's life, they called him, even his own people called him a murderer. Jethro, when he received him on the backside of the desert, after he fled from the presence of Pharaoh, Jethro called him a stranger. The people, the populace that was around there knew him simply as a shepherd, somebody who took care of his father-in-law's sheep. Dear God, everybody gave him a name. But you know what? He was asking the right person. Hallelujah. He was asking God to identify him. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't let there be an identity crisis any longer. I challenge you this morning. Come on up here to this altar, the conclusion of this message, and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to let people identify me anymore. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you identify me. Hallelujah. Can you say amen, church? It's important that you don't let people. You see, it's not who you are, but it's whose you are. Glory to God. It's not who you are. It's whose you are. I want you to take a look in that 12th verse. It said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this very mountain." Hallelujah. I know you started out here, but I'm going to bring you by this point just to remind you of how far I brought you. Oh, glory to God. It's important that we don't let this world or people around us identify. Us. It's important that we ask God to identify us. Oh, glory to God. Moses, you may be a refugee. People may call you a murderer. Your own people may call you that. Pharaoh's daughter may call you an Egyptian. Dear God, you're confused of who you are. You're on the backside of the desert now. You're 80 years old, dear God. And you may be wondering who you really are. But I'm going to identify you're going to do something special. You were born for a special purpose. And you're going to fulfill that purpose in your life. Hallelujah. It's important that we conquer in this struggle for identity. Oh, glory to God. Let God define you and not the people that's around you. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah. Notice another struggle that he had. He had a struggle with inability. Oh, dear God. Notice that 13th verse. He said, and Moses said to God, when I come to the children of Israel, what I say unto them? And when I say this unto them, what is his name? What shall I give them? What kind of an answer? Glory to God. I have to speak with conviction. Glory to God. Many times we find that after we get saved and we're trying to convince people, it falls on deaf ears. Dear God, we become discouraged that what we're saying is not being convincing. Glory to God. He's going to go to a people. He's going to go back. They know him as a murderer. They know him as a refugee. They know him. Some of them may not even recognize him. Age has taken a toll upon his countenance. And he's coming back. Now he's trying to convince a people that's lived for over 400 years in the same spot. This has been the home. They lived in favor. Now they moved to mercy. And now this man comes along and says, you know what? I'm going to lead you out of this place that's been home for 400 years. And the Lord is telling him, say, you know what? I want you to go lead them out of this place. They become content to stay there in bondage. Oh, but I've heard their cry deep inside of this people. They want to be free. They want to be free from the bondage that's binding them. Oh, hallelujah. And Moses, you're the man that I want to send to convince them to lead this home of over 400 years. I want you to tell them that I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. Glory to God. Tell them I'm the God of their past. I was the God that delivered them, that brought them to this great land. And I am also the God not only of the past, but I am the God of the present. Glory to God. Tell them that I am sent you. Not I was, not I'm going to be, but I am a very present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's not impressed with our ability. He thought he did not have the ability to be convincing. He did not have the argument. He did not have the right answers to the questions that he knew that he would get. But I want you to notice here in the 15th verse, hallelujah, God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob hath sent me, glory to God, and this is my name forever. Notice he said, I am, have sent me unto you. Glory to God. Just give them that answer. That's enough. I'm going to validate and vindicate your name and my name. Oh, glory to God. Listen to me. When God sends us, God's not impressed with our ability. You may be multi-talented. You may have many different dimensions. But what God is looking for is not ability. He's looking for availability. Can you say amen? I want you to notice here, he had another struggle, not only with identity and inability, but he had a struggle with inadequacy. Notice verse number one of the fourth chapter. Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. Oh, dear God. He felt inadequate for the task that he was. One thing to lead a herd of a sheep, but it's another thing to lead the children of Israel. And you say amen? Hallelujah. It's one thing for the mat to run a job, but it's another thing to lead a group of young people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. God wants to bring us to a different level. Oh, yes, with different levels comes different devils. Hallelujah. But I want you to know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Glory to God. He felt so inadequate. He was afraid of failure, not being believed. Glory to God. But then notice how God proves himself personally to him. He said, throw that rod down. Hallelujah. The thing that he used to lead the sheep, he said, I want you to throw that down on the ground. And then he threw it down on the ground. He said, I want you to pick it up by the tail. Glory to God. He picked it up by the tail. And by the chase, it became a rod again. Glory to God. He said, take your hand, put it into your bosom. He drew it out. It was leprous. But he said, I want you to put it in again. And it came out. It was just like his regular hand. Glory to God. He said, and when you get there, he said, I'm going to give you another miracle that's going to prove your credibility. Oh, glory to God. He said, when you draw water out of that river, he said, you put it on dry land and I'm going to make it turn into blood. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to validate you in front of this people. Glory to God. Listen to me. It's easy for us to feel inadequate. Can you say amen? I want you to read through those scriptures later on to the day. Read through those scriptures and you'll find that he spent much more time questioning God about how he was going to be critical to his own people. He wasn't worried so much about Pharaoh. He had been in Pharaoh's court for 40 years. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes the hardest people to lead are the ones of the home folks. Those that are at home, they know all about me. They know my struggles. They know my inadequacies. They know my weaknesses. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't easy even for Christ himself to be revered even in his own home place. Listen to me. It's easy for us to lead to strangers, those who don't know our past. But those who know our past, it's the hardest ones to lead. And here Moses is going back to this place. Glory to God. But God gives him tokens of certainty. Glory to God. You see that rod? It's going to be a token of certainty. You throw that down, it's going to become a serpent. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Pharaoh's magicians, they may throw theirs down, but yours are going to eat up theirs. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, glory to God. He felt so inadequate. But I want you to notice here another struggle that he had. Was infirmity. Chapter number 4, verse number 10, he said, I am not eloquent, neither hither heretofore, neither since hast thou that since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Lord, you haven't done a miracle on me. I thought for sure that if you sent me down there that I would be able to be eloquent, but I'm still slow of speech, I'm still slow of tongue. Oh dear God, I've got a speech impediment. I'm a slow thinker, I'm a slow talker, but God is not looking for those that have the gift of gab. Can you say amen? Thank God he isn't. Glory to God. He's looking for those that are willing and available. Glory to God. God's not looking for somebody who has an elegant delivery, but he's looking for somebody who has a willing and an open heart that is subject to the law of God and submissive to his will. Glory to God. This is another struggle, not only with the identity, inability, inadequacy, and infirmity, but I want you to notice the last struggle that he dealt with. And this is a struggle that we all go through. Hallelujah. Notice here, he had the struggle. He struggled with inferiority. He struggled with inferiority. Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Glory to God. In other words, he's saying, you know what? Send somebody else. Glory to God. You know I'm really not qualified to lead these people. Glory to God. Somebody else may be more qualified. Somebody else may have a natural ability to lead. Somebody else may be more talented than I am. Oh, glory to God. But the Lord assures him in verse number 15. Notice what he said. He said, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. I will be with thy mouth and I will teach you what ye shall do. Glory to God. In other words, he said, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you the words to say and I'm going to teach you where you need to be taught. Glory to God. Know what he's saying? He said, I don't send the qualified, I qualify the sent. Hallelujah. Oh, you with me here, church? Glory to God. God's looking for somebody that'll say, you know what, God, I'm not going to be afraid to step out. I'm not going to be afraid to do your will, for I know that every step I take, you'll be with me, teaching me, putting words in my mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Say amen, church. Hallelujah. God does not send the qualified. He qualifies the sent. I want you to notice here that inferiority of spirit is overcome by superiority of character. Glory to God. Inferiority of spirit is easily overcame by the superiority of the character of this man. Glory to God. Now I want you to look, even though he stayed with this, and the Lord got angry with him and he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll allow somebody to be your spokesman, somebody you think that's better than you, that's more qualified. I'll allow you to have Aaron, your brother. He's going to come and he's going to meet you and he's going to be your spokesman. He's got the gift of gab. Notice what he said. He said, I know Aaron knows how to talk. I know Aaron has the gift of gab. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice here something. Aaron was very creative. Aaron had the gift. He was very eloquent. Aaron had a flair for sensationalism. And it became a problem later on. This is a very man that had a lack of character, so much so that whenever Moses went up on the hill to talk to God, when he went up on the mountain, this man used that sensationalism and he used that creativity to form a golden calf that caused the children of Israel to sin. I've often wondered, Sister Tammy, why didn't God kill Aaron right along with those who unbelief? He's the one that created the calf. He's the one that caused the people to sin. But I've come to the conclusion, church, that the Lord wanted to keep Aaron alive to be a constant reminder to Moses. I don't care about how eloquent you are. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how creative you are. I don't care about your flair. Racialism. What I care about is the heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This struggle with inferiority. Oh, hallelujah. He was poor in spirit, but he was rich in character. He was poor in spirit, but he was rich in character. Oh, glory to God. Thank God. God doesn't look just on the outside. You may be multi-talented. You may have several different dimensions. But if God doesn't have your heart, oh, hallelujah. The character that was inside, the very humility of Moses is what distinguished him most of all. He was a meek man, knowing that I can do nothing without God. Hallelujah. Isn't it funny that God uses the weak to confound the mighty? Oh, glory to God. To overcome the mighty. He uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Oh, glory to God. That's just the way that he works. Oh, glory to God. Listen to me, church. Hallelujah. Brother Matt, come up. Talk to me here some time back. I just felt led of the Lord to talk to him about maybe being the youth director. Hope you don't mind me telling this, Brother Matt. Brother Matt, after much praying and asking God, I'll never forget. Brother Matt came to me. He said, Brother Davis, I'll go ahead and do it, but what have I got to offer? What have I got to offer? I'm going to tell you something, Brother Matt, that broke me. That broke me. It brought me back to the days when I answered the call to preach. I felt the same way. Hallelujah. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of thinking. I'm a slow talker. I'm not naturally gifted to share my heart with people. But Lord, if you can use nothing, I'll let you use me. Hallelujah. It took me back to those days, Brother Matt. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What have I got to offer? I'll tell you what you got to offer. You got an open heart that says, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. A willing body that says, you know what? Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Glory to God. A submissive spirit that says, Lord, I'd like to do it this way, but whatever way you want to do, that's what I'll do. Whatever you want to do, that's what I'll do. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Great things can happen to those that are submitted to the authority that's over them. Don't ever think that God will use somebody that is not submitted to his will. Oh, dear God. Hallelujah. These are struggles that every one of us face. And I want you to know the conclusion, the solution that God gave him. All of those things that I mentioned. Confidence, credibility. Notice those things that I mentioned. All of those things were God given. For identity, he gave him confidence. For inability, he gave him conviction. For inadequacy, he gave him credibility. For an infirmity, he gave him consolation. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to teach you what to say. For inferiority, he gave him confirmation. I'm going to confirm you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let none of your words fall to the ground. Just like I was with Samuel, I'll be with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you speak, everything will happen. God, the Spirit of God will fall. It'll happen just like you said. Hallelujah. Let me read you something I read to you some time ago, but let us read it again. Hallelujah. Moses led the children of Israel into the desert. Now, what was he going to do with them? They had to be fed, and feeding 3,500,000 people required a lot of food. According to the U.S. Army's quartermaster general, Moses needed 1,500 tons of food a day. filling two freight trains, each a mile long. Besides, you must remember they were cooking their own food, and just for cooking took 4,000 tons of firewood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long. And this is only for one day, not to mention for keeping warm. And it gets cold on the desert. And they were 40 years on this journey. Let's not forget about water. If they only had enough to drink and wash a few dishes, no bathing, it took 11 million gallons each day. Enough to fill a train of tanker cars several miles long. They had another problem. Israel had to get across the Red Sea in one night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long. Come on, church, think about this. And require 35 days and nights to complete the crossing. So to get across in one night, there had to be a space in the Red Sea about 3 miles wide so that they could walk 5,000 abreast. Then think about this. Every time they camped at the end of the day in the wilderness, a campground the size of Rhode Island was required, or about 750 square miles. Do you think that Moses sat down and figured out the logistics of what God told him to do before he set out from Egypt? No. He just had to have faith in God. My, what faith. Hallelujah. I said, my, what faith. Glory to God. I want you to think about this. This is incredible. This man come from the backside. Hallelujah. Come from the backside of the desert. For 40 years, he's taught to be somebody. And then he goes on the backside of the desert for another 40 years, and he's taught to be nobody. So that at the end of 80 years, he could help everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I believe God's got potential on each and every one of us that would astound us, that the world would shake their head and say, you know what? I can't believe you're doing what you're doing. I just can't believe how far you've come. Glory to God. Each and every one of us are miracles. How does it go, Brother Jared? How's that little saying go? Could somebody help me? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Hallelujah. That's who we are, church. You are as individuals. Don't let the devil intimidate you and tell you what you're nothing. How you may be on the backside of the desert wondering, where are we going to go from here? I've been trained for great things, but here I am taking care of somebody else's sheep. Glory to God. I'd like to challenge you this morning. Don't let these struggles overcome you and defeat you. I want to challenge you while you stand to your feet here all over this sanctuary. Glory to God is wanting to use you. God is wanting to do something through you if you will allow him. I had somebody told me, he said, you know what? My child knows more about the Bible than I do. Hey, you know what? It's time right today to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to get to know him so I can teach my son, I teach my daughter, so I can teach my loved ones about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's time today. It's the day. Now is the accepted time. It's never too late to start doing the right thing and to make a right decision. Glory to God. I can hear Moses now as he asked his father-in-law, I've got to leave. I've got to go lead the children of Israel. Hey, you got a good place here. You can be content. You've already had a child. You can have more. We can raise a family here. No, God's got something greater for me. I'm going to obey his will. I'm not going to be intimidated. God has proven himself to me. Take a look at David. David with the slingshot. He's the least in his father's house. Everybody else got the preeminence. David's out on the backside of the desert taking care of a bunch of sheep. But when the giant needed killing, David come from the backside of the desert and took care of the giant. Hallelujah. Gideon, you're down in the wine press. You're down there throwing up wheat in the air, trying to get the seeds. You're hiding out. But God used Gideon without a sword to run the Midianites off. Listen to me. If Shamgar can protect what's his with nothing more than just a pointed stick, if God can use a donkey to talk to a prophet that was trying to put a curse
on the children of Israel. If God can use a sheepskin to talk to Gideon, he can use us. Hallelujah. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord, use me. Oh, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Oh, take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Every head bowed. Let me pray for you here just a few minutes, if you'd allow me. Father, Lord, as he plays this song, I pray in the name of Jesus, speak to every heart here. Give that one individual the courage that it takes to take that step right now while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Help that one, Lord, to take that step and say, I'm going to step into this aisle. I'm going to walk down to this altar and I'm going to kneel. And I'm going to start my quest for heaven right today, right now. I'm not going to let Satan conquer me. I'm not going to let him talk me out of it. I'm going to start my quest for heaven today. In Jesus' name. Lord, I don't know where our journey will go from here. But I'm going to give you control over my life. I'm going to accept you as my Lord, my King, my Savior. I'm not going to let Satan talk me out of it. I'm not going to let him intimidate me any longer. I'm not going to let him hold me in bondage. But I'm going to accept your deliverance. I'm going to accept your call on my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's come around this altar. Let's find a place to pray.